Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Oh.
Hey everybody, Kate Delaney broadcasting live from Washington, D.C. as we're here for the Supreme Court oral arguments, King versus Burwell. That's happening on Wednesday, as you know, but D.C. is buzzing after Benjamin Netanyahu warned Congress that an Iran deal was a countdown to nuclear nightmares, not just for Israel, but for everybody else. And the White House reacted swiftly to some of the things that Netanyahu had to say, although I thought they weren't even going to watch the address whatsoever. So kind of a mixed bag in D.C. But here's where we start. We start with Netanyahu, and we start with the fact that heading up to this, the prime minister was not invited, as we all know the story by now, from the president, but instead it was John Boehner, his invitation, the Speaker of the House, that brought him to D.C. And initially, remember, at the White House, they said there was no way that Obama was going to meet with him because he didn't want to sway the elections that are happening in Israel pretty soon in the next, 10 days or so, 10 plus days. So the prime minister, the gist of what he had to say is exactly what I just told you. Boom, it's a bomb. It's going to go off, and it's a killer to us, and we're not going to stand for it. So he says there should be no deal with Iran, that it would be a terrible thing for the United States, because that country is always going to be an enemy of America, is what Netanyahu emphasized. He said, if the deal now being negotiated is accepted by Iran, the deal won't prevent Iran from developing nuclear weapons. Boy, I agree. But it guarantees that Iran will get those nuclear weapons, lots of them. He did a 39-minute address to Congress, and he pretty much went point by point. It was really a critique of Obama's Iran diplomacy, if you will. That's what it sounded like to me. And certainly there are strained U.S.-Israeli relations right now. The speech itself was boycotted by dozens of Democrats. Netanyahu said, so that was noticeable, Netanyahu said Iran's leadership was as radical as ever. Boy, do I agree. And he said, you can't trust them. And the deal being worked out with world powers is not going to block Iran's way to a bomb, but instead it actually paves the way. And mentioning that, the deal won't be a farewell to arms. It'll be a farewell to arms control and a nightmare. His speech got 26 standing ovations for what it's worth, and he weighed in on the terms of the deal, which I thought that was good. He was very specific about that. But that was rejected by 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, the administration. They said that's just a regime change in Tehran. That's all that he's talking about. Netanyahu did not call for any new sanctions now or for any kind of a rollback of nuclear technology. So maybe Israel is thinking less is better, at least it would be less, because remember, again, Obama refused to meet with Netanyahu because he said it would taint the March 17th general election. It would seem like he was interfering, and he didn't want to do that. And initially, his aide said he wouldn't be watching the speech because it was broadcast, of course, live on TV. And I think it underscores a lot of the partisan divide in Washington, a lot of it. You look at Nancy Pelosi, and the Democratic leader, and she said she's a friend of Israel. She said she was near tears during a speech. She called it an insult to the intelligence of the United States. She said she was saddened by the condescension toward our knowledge of the threat posed by Iran. So Netanyahu, to reemphasize this, when he came to the chamber, there were cheers and applause. He shook hands with the dozens that as he went down the aisle, and including, of course, House Speaker John Boehner, before taking the podium and then saying that he was humbled, and he didn't diffuse the politics of the day, which is the divisions between the Republicans and the Democrats over the White House's approach to stopping Iran from getting nuclear weapons. Since I've been on America Tonight, we have been talking about this again and again. Now, he did say he was grateful to the Prez for his public and private support of Israel, including military assistance and contributions to Israel's Iron Dome anti-missile system, which we know was huge when the Palestinians were lobbing some bombs back. We've talked about how that helped them so much. So you had about 60 folks from the 232 members of Congress from the Democratic Party who sat out the address to protest what they thought as a way to politicize Israeli security. And usually this is an area where Congress is united. Usually there's no problem in this area. So the other last thing about this is Obama kind of waved off any prospect that the U.S. alliance with Israel might be ruined by this. He just kind of moved on from that, didn't say anything about that, other than sticking to the reasons why. Can't do it. Election is coming up, all that kind of thing. And by the way, quickly I'll throw this in, because I've talked to a couple of people today in Washington. The deal with Iran is nothing guaranteed. I wouldn't trust Rouhani or the Supreme Leader as far as I could throw him. And given our assessments that, you know, more than a decade of that whole back and forth with Iran, it's probably has a good chance to fail anyway to clinch any kind of an accord. But Secretary of State John Kerry is pushing hard to try and make that happen. All right, the other thing on the day is getting ready for the Supreme Court oral arguments, which I've mentioned before. At the heart of this, the plaintiffs are challenging the federal government's ability, basically, to provide tax credits that we've talked about to consumers to offset the cost of health insurance premiums in states that haven't set up their own health insurance marketplaces, which there's quite a few of those. So if some people lose their subsidy, the other side is saying they'd have no health insurance, and how could they afford that health insurance? And isn't this the gist of everything? Isn't this where we are now in this country, that who's going to say they don't want good, affordable health care? Of course. I think that cuts across partisan lines. It's the politicization of what's going on with health care. And the insurance companies have so much at stake in this. And, of course, huge lobbying groups. So this is at the heart of the problem. It's never been, I think, that anybody wants to see a reform happen. It's just the way it's being reformed. So as I said, we're going to shake it up and look at it from all different angles here on the show, including we're going to talk to Dr. Elaine Georges. As you know, I wanted to make sure she got in her two cents about having patients pay instead, if you haven't heard her. We're also going to talk to Max Richmond about, frankly, what's happening with Social Security, and I think everybody should be concerned about that, and disability, and Max Richmond really has a lot to say about that. He's the guy who spent a ton of time on the Hill and about people that are disabled and what happens there. And also Ron Pollock, we're going to talk to him, and he heads up Families First, and it's a big reason why we're here on Radio Row, and he talks about what's happened with healthcare and what direction he sees it going in, and even gives us his thoughts on where the court might lie. The thought prevailing in D.C. is if it's letter of the law, then it stays, and the subsidies are not going to get axed out, and the plaintiff isn't going to win. But we'll see, and we certainly will talk about this through the rest of the show. So stay with us. Much more to come on America Tonight. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
One of our favorite guests here on America Tonight joins us, Dr. Lainey George, and we've been talking a lot about the different aspects of Obamacare. Next week, as you know, we're going to be in Washington, D.C. The Supreme Court hears the oral arguments centered around the subsidies. And we have this new report that came out that revealed that Obamacare enrollees pay more than job-based in health insurance, which is something that certainly I've seen. I've talked about some things that have happened with people around me recently. Dr. George, as always, thanks for coming on the show.
It's a pleasure to be back with you.
So I found that when I recently went, I had to go to an urgent care for a strep throat thing. And when I went in, and I've told the listeners this, they asked me what kind of insurance I had. They listed off all kinds of a la carte, this and that. And I asked the person behind the desk, how come you're doing that? You never did that before. And what she said was, well, that's because people are confused about their health insurance. And it's a different insurance than what they think they have. They're paying more for the services, but they don't realize that. So this is it in a nutshell, isn't it?
Absolutely. But it's not a surprise if anybody had been paying attention to the bill itself and to how it was configured, you would have figured this out way earlier than this.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about health care. I've said it for a couple of years now. It's about control, and it's about control of the health care dollar. And they want people to pay into a system but not use it. That's what they're talking about when they tell people there's a decrease in health care expenses. You know, people aren't spending as much. That's right, because they can't afford to pay the out-of-pocket. I can tell you this personally. I have people who come to my office who they pay their premiums religiously, and they realize when they get to the desk that they have an out-of-pocket of $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 that they have to pay up front before the insurance actually kicks in. And you know what they do? They leave because they can't afford it.
Wow.
So that's really why healthcare costs have gone down, not because everybody has insurance and they're happy. It's because they can't afford to use their insurance. And that was the game plan all along.
And as you say, that's the game plan, because what's the end game?
The end game is single payer. But all you have to do is look at the Rand companies. They did an article back in, I think, 1998, where they did a study and they said that when people pay out of pocket for health expenditure, they use the health system less. They knew that this was going to be the outcome. So this is what Obamacare is. It's a reconfiguration of capitation. That's the accountable care organization, of managed care. That's the silver, gold, platinum nonsense. It's all gatekeeping. And they demonized doctors. They made it seem like we were the problem to sell it. They made people think you can get something for nothing. They lied to people and said you can get a subsidy, when in actuality, when people are figuring this out this year, they have to pay back over $500 on average back to the government, because a subsidy really wasn't a subsidy. Okay, so it's a complete scam. It's a Ponzi scheme. And doctors and patients are now on the hook for this thing.
How infuriating is this to you, as you saw this coming down the train tracks and you knew it? Because you care about the patient, how upsetting is this to you?
You know, I've gone through everything, every emotion you can imagine. Depression, I wanted to leave the profession. I thought briefly about selling my practice to a hospital like most doctors, but I said I'm not doing that. I love what I do. I will not have anybody step on my Hippocratic Oath or my doctor-patient relationship. And so I'm carving out a way around this, and I'm opening, or has opened, a direct pay part to my practice where people pay a subscription fee, $50 a month, and they get ENT services. There's no middleman anymore. We can decide together. I can keep the cost very low because it's out of my office. And I'm not alone. That's the future of medicine. Direct pay practices are springing up all over the country for family practice, for specialists. And patients need to find these doctors, because that's where quality health care is. And unlike what they've told us, you know, it's actually cheaper not to use your insurance and to pay directly out of pocket. They don't want people to know that, and that's a lie.
And I think you're right about people being afraid to go to the doctor because of the amount that they're having to pay and being confused, as I saw with my own example of them listing everything. So you think that a lot of doctors are going to start doing that. They're going to go with the direct pay. Hey, just this is what you pay. Then you come in. You need something for strep. You need something for whatever it is, and you can come and get it instead of making the condition worse.
Absolutely. And you'll get seen by a doctor, not by a healthcare extender like a nurse practitioner or a physician assistant. I'm not talking badly about them, but they're not specialists. They're not MDs. We train differently, and they're trying to make everybody into a team. This is not how medicine works. And so I know something and how to treat something differently than a nurse practitioner would. And the way it was initially designed, they were supposed to be following the dictates or the directions of a physician. Now they're doing stuff on their own. They're writing narcotics. They're running clinics. And what you do is you get a one-size-fits-all medicine. That's what you get. Because you're given algorithms. You treat everybody the same with the same medicines. And if you don't get better, then, oh, well. That's the system that people are going to be living under. And they're being rewarded for this. Look at Obamacare in the hospital setting now. If you get readmitted within 30 days with the same diagnosis, the hospital won't be paid. You know what that means? That means that when you're really sick, the doctor will do everything they can to try to treat you on the outside and not really admit you when they're supposed to. Mm. That's going to be consequences for people who have severe illness, and they're pushing people to hospice because now they pay 1% more for hospice care and for talking about end-of-life decision as opposed to treating people needing a hip replacement. Now they're putting you in a hospice instead, and they'll be paid to do so. This is the mindset now. It's about, you know, whether you're worthy of spending money on, and some entity now decides whether by age, by disease state, whether they're going to spend money on you. That's not a system that anybody would want.
No, and so it means that basically people, they just have to pray they stay healthy. I mean, that's it. And so, and if you get sick and you get unlucky, and even if you've taken care of yourself, because we don't know, things happen, you come in contact with things, and it's very, very frightening. Are you also finding, as you said, you thought for a time for selling your practice because you went through the whole gamut of everything. Have you found that some of your great colleagues have said, yeah, I'm dropping out?
Yes. I have a colleague who now does insurance, prime of their career. 30-something, 40-something-year-olds who should be practicing medicine. This is a sweet spot where you know enough and you can put what you've learned into practice. They're gone. And the other folks who join medical practices where the hospital owns it, they have no autonomy at all. I've had people tell me that their doctor sold their practice and they can no longer make financial arrangements with them because they don't have any kind of power over how much they charge anymore. And as soon as the hospital buys a practice, the prices go up. Your ability to see your doctor goes down because the waiting list, you know, goes up. It's not a good thing. You know, we need to have competition. That's how costs stay cheap. That's how innovation continues. When you have one big monolith in town, one hospital running the show, then they're the only game in town. And trust me, they make it as expensive and as hard to see you as possible, because that's where the money is. They want to see you and get rid of you. If they keep you in the hospital, they lose money. You know, that's what this is all about. It's money-driven, and now the government has rewarded insurance companies with subsidies, with, you know, mandates that say, that's, you know, technically mandates that say that you have nowhere else to go, so you have to jump into the exchange. Well, again, here's another little pearl that listeners don't know. There's something called medical cost sharing, where it is allowed under Obamacare, and you can join with your neighbors across the country as a consortium, share your medical expenses, and opt out of this system. I chose a company called Liberty HealthShare because it can allow, it's much more liberal than some of the other cost-sharing models. You can have domestic partnerships, you can have civil unions, you can don't need to belong to a church, and those things that sometimes are limiting. And for $199 a month, which is the most expensive plan, I only have to pay $500 out of pocket per year. And I'm covered at 100%, up to $1 million per occurrence per year.
Wow.
I can go to any hospital, any doctor that I want to. That's my way of doing it. And I've expanded that to my practice as well.
Wow. So up to $1 million, because that's what people freak out about. They think, well, what if I'm in a car accident? What if something happens? Then, okay, I have to still pay, you know, my deductible is $6,000 or whatever it is, but I can't afford to pay the other. But as you're saying, it covers up to $1 million.
$1 million. And I've added on Aflac, which is a supplemental. So now it'll pay me if I ever get, God forbid, something happens to me, if I get cancer. I got a $250,000 check that will be written to me to pay for my health needs. So there's, and I'm paying about $20 a month for that. So ultimately, there's a way around this, and I will never have to pay any kind of penalty to Obamacare because I'm covered. I'm just not using the government-based insurance to do it.
Wow. Well, that's great. Awesome. That's great advice, and you're a doctor. So
I am. And I trust me, I love to see Liberty HealthShare patients come to my office because I get paid appropriately.
Yeah.
I get a discounted rate. I know what I'm going to get. I don't have someone telling me it's not medically necessary. Patients don't have to be pre-certified. It's amazing. I mean, it's like a whole new world out there. Go to libertyoncall.org and just check it out and see if it's for you. Because I'm telling you, I'm paying a fraction of what I was paying, and I now can stay healthy.
I love it. All right, thanks, Doc. That's good stuff. Dr. Elena George, as always, we love having you on the show. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at LegalShield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, LegalShield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to LegalShield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let LegalShield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
The Freeze Dry Guy presents Freeze Dried Turkey, Freeze Dried Ham, and the No Bake Casserole Unit February Sale. Listen, if you trust the Freeze Dry Guy, as thousands have for their emergency food supply since 1970, don't wait to hear how great this deal is, because it's unlimited supply. Call 866-404-3663 and ask for our new turkey and ham unit. Normal retail price, $359.94. Sale price, $251.94. You save $108. And it's chock full of high-quality, great-tasting freeze-dried diced turkey and ham from Mountain House, the gold standard in long-term storage products. Or get the Freeze Dry Guy's No Bake Casserole Unit. 153 servings per case at normal retail price of $215.94. Sale price, $172.75. You save $43.19. But supplies are limited, and we always pay shipping right to your door within the lower 48 states. Call 866-404-3663 and make freezedryguy.com a favorite and check for monthly specials. Don't miss the Freeze Dry Guy's February sale. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
Most people know that drinking pure high alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Once again, we are broadcasting across from the Supreme Court, Families First USA Row. Kate Delaney, as always, the captain of this ship as we dock in a lot of nooks and crannies across America. Proud to say we picked up a whole bunch of affiliates, one in New Hampshire, too, and we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. Anyway, the gist is King versus Burwell, and we're talking about people losing health care, the subsidies, and what that's at the heart of this if we were to drill it down. So sitting here with me now at Radio Row, and he's been here before, is Max Richmond. And Max, you have such an impressive resume, but I think what people need to know is you know the politics on the Hill. You're a former staff director of the Senate Special Committee on Aging, and you're obviously a 16-year vet of Capitol Hill, because on this kind of a radio show, when you do talk radio, especially syndicated, and you have people from the West to the East and the South and everywhere in between and different ideologies, the one thing we constantly hear over and over again is, why can't we have any bipartisan cooperation? And we see on some things there's a little bit of give. But this is a political question, but when you first saw the change in Congress and what happened there, were you concerned thinking of this is going to be all these challenges now to the Affordable Care Act? And we're seeing that tipping point with this one that's happening tomorrow.
Well, the challenges existed as the law worked its way as a bill through the Congress. And remember, it was a tortured trip. And the bill passed the Senate by, I believe, just one vote.
Yep.
And that was a lot of arm twisting. So I'm not surprised. And I'm not surprised for one reason, watching what happened the very first day of this Congress. The day everyone was sworn in, the House majority changed the rules, had a rule change that, in effect, unless it's overturned, will reduce disability, Social Security disability benefits next year by 20%.
20%. So we're getting older, baby boomers.
I would like members of Congress to spend a month living on $1,046 and see how easy it would be to lose 20% of that. So that was an ominous sign. And I think we're going to have plenty of challenges as we go along in the next couple of years.
Yeah.
It's a tough, tough period.
What specifically on the subsidies, what does that mean to people? There's people listening to us. What does that mean to people with diabetes? What does that mean to people who have these chronic diseases where they need that income, they need that extra coming in? What does it mean to them when it comes to premiums and health care?
You know, this is life or death. This is about dollars, but it's about life or death. You know, we're the National Committee to Preserve Social Security is the second largest senior citizen lobbying group in the country, and we have about almost 4 million members and supporters. The point I've been trying to make for the last couple of years, I think I'm making progress, I'm not there yet, is under the Affordable Care Act, if you are on Medicare, you are getting more and paying less for it. You mentioned cancer, diabetes. Under the Affordable Care Act, if you're on Medicare for the first time ever under the program, you get, with no out-of-pocket cost, screenings for cancer, for diabetes, for colonoscopies, mammograms, an annual wellness visit with a physician, with no cost. 37 million Medicare beneficiaries have taken advantage of that and have sought that kind of medical treatment and advice. So you know what that means. We're going to save money in the long run. We're going to detect these awful diseases earlier. They'll be treatable at a lower cost. But even more important than that, we're saving lives. The Affordable Care Act is saving lives. People have insurance or they have more benefits under Medicare. I read just this morning that if a Medicare beneficiary in the next 10 years, unless the court throws this whole thing out, will save about $5,000 on the cost of prescription drugs because of the provisions in the Act that provide discounts for Medicare, that close that donut hole that we all saw happen in 2003, the gap in out-of-pocket costs for prescription drugs. And one of the great virtues of the Affordable Care Act as it relates to Medicare is it extended the solvency of the Medicare program by 7 years. All that disappears. The preventative care, the drug cost savings, the solvency extension, all that disappears. So everybody's got a stake in this, especially those that I represent, seniors on the Medicare program.
Yeah, and you know, you talk about that and you say, what is the second largest lobbying group, right? And now we're seeing the swing because the baby boomers are coming into that. Do you think that sometimes with healthcare, and we can't help it, you know, we're busy, we're on our 10,000 devices, it's everything's fine until something happens to you, right? Is that part of that? Do you try to raise the awareness that, hey, listen, you know, 20 years from now, you're going to be wanting to know, why did this happen?
Right. Well, not just 20 years from now. You know, so this is especially true with Social Security. It's insurance for families. It's for retirees, yes, but a third of Social Security benefits goes right now to non-retired workers, to the disabled that I just mentioned. 4 million children, almost 4 million children, and get Social Security benefits because they have a parent who died or was disabled, survivors. Here's a very startling statistic. If you are a 27-year-old worker today, forget about when you retire and you're 66 or 67. If you are a 27-year-old worker today with a spouse and two children, you have right now about $500,000 worth of life and disability insurance because of Social Security. So it's important that younger people have a huge stake in these social insurance programs. And like you just said, you don't even think about it till something bad happens in a family, and all of a sudden someone might say, hey, you know, you should check out Social Security because the children have are eligible for benefits.
Right.
Or someone becomes disabled, or a spouse gets survivor benefits. So I try to make the point by looking at the acronym FICA.
Mm-hmm.
We all know, we remember seeing that on our early, in our careers, on our paychecks. And I know people have wondered, who the heck is FICA? Why are they getting some of this
right.
money? Federal Insurance Contribution Act. It's insurance for families for old age, survivor, and disability benefits. So it's important to have that perspective, especially with the younger folks that aren't thinking about retirement.
On the Hill, in the lobbying aspect of it, where do you find the most support? Who are some of the biggest supporters?
I think a lot of individuals who had a personal experience, as with many things on Capitol Hill, with a problem or an issue, are for the usually very supportive. I've spent some time with Senator Al Franken in his district, in his state, in Minneapolis, and his wife, I believe her parents died in an automobile accident, and in the 50s. And she got by in life with her siblings because of Social Security survivor benefits, as children's benefits. And he's written about it. He's written a book. He's written about it. I think the strongest, some of the strongest advocates for Social Security and Medicare in the Senate, Senator Bernie Sanders, a champion for seniors, for the middle class, for veterans, the disabled. Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, Senator Brian Schatz of Hawaii, Senator Jeff Merkley of Oregon, pretty dedicated supporters of Social Security. And there are others, Senator Shaheen in New Hampshire. And there are many in the House who are committed to protecting these programs as well.
Yeah. Do you most of the people that call you? I mean, what to you, of all the people out there that you, I'll say, represent or lobby for, what's the scariest group that are affected by some of the things that we've been talking about today? Meaning, what's the age range now that you're concerned?
I think it's not so much the age, but those that are disabled. Mm-hmm. Who don't have a lot of alternatives, they can't go back to work.
Right.
You know, the arguments made with seniors, some of them can, if they can't get by, can look for some jobs at the big box outlets and try to do something to supplement that small Social Security check. But the disabled, they don't have a choice. You know, I should have mentioned two women in the Congress that chair the Seniors Task Force in the House of Representatives, Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky and Congresswoman of Chicago, and Doris Matsui of Sacramento. They're out there every day working on behalf of seniors and the disabled and those that need the help of the Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid.
Yeah, trying to get the word out, trying to tell people, yeah, we're listening to you. They're listening to their constituents, absolutely. And, I mean, this is an issue. I think, really, it's not Democrat or a Democratic issue or Republican, because it affects so many people.
Hey, look, we've done polling for the last few years. Social Security has overwhelming support, regardless of political persuasion. Democrats, I think 82% of Democrats support improving Social Security, making
right.
the benefits adequate, more adequate. I think it's 77% of Republicans and nearly that many independents. So this, you're right. It's not, it may be partisan here in Washington. It's not partisan outside the Beltway.
Yeah, not the people listening to America Tonight. Max, always a pleasure to have you on the show. It's good to see you again.
Thank you so much. Great information.
Thank you.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here is what one doctor has to say about Extendovite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on your product and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them, and what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. The yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect, and most of the other herbs in there I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut, it's working on the liver, it's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you hungry for delicious, nutritious, rich, and satisfying home-cooked meals? Discover the Vita Clay 4-in-1 Smart Organic Cooker. Unglazed Zeesha Clay, an ancient secret that makes this fast multi-cooker so special. Infusing your food with incredible flavors, perfect texture, vitamins, and minerals for your good health. It's a slow cooker, rice cooker, a steamer, plus a yogurt maker. Go to VitaClayChef.com and enter promo code RADIO20 for 20% off at checkout. That's VitaClayChef.com.
I'm really glad my buddy Mark turned me on to GunsAD.com. I gotta tell you, I didn't want to buy any more firearms. I didn't want a paperwork trail headed back to Big Brother. I want 100% privacy. I want to be an invisible gun owner. Hello? So Mark says, hey, you know, guns80.com, Ghost AR-15. Ghost means invisible. Get it? Ghost AR-15, guns80.com. I got a couple, if you know what I mean. Go to guns80.com or call 844-2-GUNS-80.
Sugar Boy called me last night. He said his girl called him. She said, can I come over? She said,
As always, as I mentioned before, we are very pleased to be here in Washington, D.C. Such a great group of people in this room, I'm telling you. I mean, you can feel the energy because they realize the significance of what's happening, certainly, and always do with healthcare, but what's happening with these oral arguments that are happening in King versus Burwell tomorrow, Families First USA Radio Row. And we are here with the founding. I want to make sure I got this right because he is the grand poobah. He has so many titles and has a lot of influence on some of the things that are happening. And I'm saying that not as flattery, but it's the truth. But Ron Pollack is the founding executive director of Families USA. And so people know, and they're clear on this, it's the National Organization for Healthcare for Consumers. It's you. It's the people that are listening to us right now in even Ottumwa, Iowa, Dallas, Texas, Sarasota, Florida, New York, New Jersey, my old digs in Philadelphia. And He's one of the top 9 nonprofit lobbyists. So anytime you're in the top 10 of anything, I'm going to say that's pretty good. So, Ron, always a pleasure to chat with you. We should do it more often. But I've had the pleasure of coming to several of these, and I've watched as from the very beginning the Affordable Care Act and its evolution, and right before it happened and as we've seen it go along. And now with this challenge of the Supreme Court, what does that mean to you, because you fought those battles for so long, even going back to 97 when Bill Clinton turned to you to look for help for the consumers?
Well, you know, one of the things you learn about social movements, and this obviously is a social movement, is there's no such thing as final victories or final defeats. You just got to keep on going. And so we won a marvelous victory in 2010 with the passage of the Affordable Care Act. It's not perfect, of course, but it's a huge step forward. There's just a never-ending opposition to it. We've had over 50 votes in Congress to repeal the legislation. We're back again in the Supreme Court, and this Supreme Court often makes decisions, unfortunately, far more politically than legally. So it's scary, but we've got to keep on fighting. As I like to say, you got to keep on keeping on.
That's true. You got to keep on keeping on. What do you hear from people? Because what I like about your organization is you do find the stories, because it's about people. It's about the woman who has cancer and kids and could never have afforded what happened to her. It's because I think that's part of the opposition, just looking at it as cold and, you know, healthcare, this. But when you bring it down to the level of the people, and your organization is really good about doing that. How does it make you feel when you get those emails or you hear those stories about somebody's life being changed from life to death because of what's happened?
Well, we have flown in dozens of people for the argument tomorrow. You know, there's an irony about this lawsuit, and that is you got two parties. You got the anti-Obamacare folks who want to bash, 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 and you got the government who's defending the Affordable Care Act. But the real people who are affected by this litigation, their voices will not be heard in the courtroom. And so we're trying to amplify those voices. And so we at Families USA flew in dozens of people at our expense, because these are folks who couldn't afford coming in.
Sure.
And our hope is that through radio programs like yours and outside the court, when they're going to be all the cameras out there, that these people can express themselves and that the public will have a better understanding of what the stakes are.
Yeah, do you think that's part of it, is what we're talking about here, is that people don't realize, or they're just not, they're not educated enough on the exactly what the Affordable Care Act is all about?
There's still a lot of confusion about this. You know, this is a very lengthy piece of legislation, and it has complexities to it. So I still think there are high percentages of people in the country who don't understand the Affordable Care Act and how it can affect their lives. You know, we've made enormous progress. About one-third of the people who were uninsured before the Affordable Care Act was implemented have now got health coverage. That's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
We've still got two-thirds to go. And many of them are not aware of the subsidies. Many of them are not aware that they're supposed to buy health insurance coverage. And so perhaps this lawsuit, with all the dangers that it entails, will be a teaching moment.
Yeah, I like that, a teaching moment. Do you, as somebody who I was mentioning top 10 nonprofit lobbyists, and that's a tough game when you're talking about, you know, you're like a wrangler. Somebody told me it's like a cat herder on the Hill. Do you find that, I mean, do you try to work with Republicans? Do you try to find that niche where there's somebody that's, you know, willing to sway the needle in a different direction?
Well, of course. Having been doing this for a long, long time, in the past, there was bipartisanship. I mean, for example, the Children's Health Insurance Program was created in 1997. The co-sponsors of that legislation were two strange bedfellows, Ted Kennedy and Orrin Hatch. And, you know, that's significant.
Now, with respect to the Affordable Care Act, we've had no bipartisanship, and so the Republicans keep on attacking and attacking and attacking. At some point, particularly if we win in the Supreme Court, and depending on the elections in 2016, I think this will be behind us, and then hopefully Democrats, Republicans, independents can come together and make improvements and do it on a bipartisan basis. I welcome that. That moment. Right now, we are not having bipartisan.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. I think that's part of it. Why not tweak it? If you have something there, it certainly doesn't mean that that has to stay as in its existence. So tweak it to for the betterment instead of the opposite way.
Yeah, let's make sure people get high-quality care. Let's make sure that the cost people bear for things like deductibles, co-payments,
yeah,
that we can keep those down. These are kinds of things we should be able to work together on.
Yeah, and you know, the deductibles is the big argument for the middle class about, oh, my deductibles, you know, when we went up, it's $6,000, it's this or it's that. And, of course, as you know, the lower you can get that, the better.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, you don't just look at the premiums, but you also look at the deductibles. You got to look at the co-payments. And all those things are big factors for people's pocketbooks. I think we can make some improvements. And I'm hopeful once we get over this real set of battles between Democrats and Republicans that we can work together and deal with those problems.
You said that when we first sat down and we were talking about, of course, the oral arguments tomorrow. What does your gut tell you? Because you've had to, you've watched this court, you've watched this issue and where it's gone. What do you think, if you were handicapping it for me, what do you think has to happen here?
Well, let me say, I've argued cases in the Supreme Court, and I've been a law school dean. So I would say if the court looks at this case and purely applies the law, I think we're going to be in very good shape. If, on the other hand, political instincts prevail and this court, in effect, gets recruited as part of the partisan fights, then we've got some trouble. So it depends, and we'll have a better idea tomorrow. If I had to predict, I think we're going to come out okay, but you never know till you hear the decision by the court.
Yeah, and then that catapults all those people with the subsidies into what, nowhere man's land, that they're going to have to pay more is what it will amount to.
Well, this makes a huge difference in terms of what people pay out of pocket. And if the subsidies go away, and people have to pay that plus what they're paying right now.
Right.
The overwhelming majority of people are going to find that insurance is unaffordable for them. And most of these folks are going to rejoin the ranks of the uninsured.
And then, of course, you have, as you mentioned, this, you have the mandate. So now that would be at odds with the mandate.
Well, it would be at odds with the mandate. The law does say that if you have to pay more than 8% of your income in premiums,
mm-hmm,
then you're exempted from the mandate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for some people, the premiums will exceed 8%. It doesn't exceed 8% when you're getting the subsidies and you're getting the help you need to make the coverage affordable.
Right, and the bigger thing is how many people, as a result, won't get treatment for cancer, for diabetes, for that kind of stuff.
Well, the Urban Institute issued a report. It's a nonpartisan think tank. They said that if this case results in subsidies being withdrawn, more than 8 million people will join the ranks of the uninsured. 8.2 million was the figure they estimated.
Wow. And that's across the country, all these nooks and crannies where you're listening to us now.
And in particular, it's in states that are some of the poorer states in the country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think of the Southeast. Those are the states that would be hit really hard.
Yeah. Ron Pop, thanks so much. Appreciate it. It's always good to see you.
Well, thanks so much for being here and for airing programs like this so that your listeners can better understand this. It's great to have you here.
Thank you. Thanks, Ron.
Thank you.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now, no other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.